More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, a family affair. These are stressful times for families. We want to help you experience more joy in your home. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And we are wishing you a very blessed start of your Holy Week. A very unusual, unprecedented Holy Week, but holy and grace-filled nevertheless. And we want to help you and your family get the most out of this week. Our show today is titled A Family Affair. As we look at all the things that families are being challenged by right now, whether that involves conflict because you're all cooped up and no place to go, just general marital or family issues, parenting challenges, or even, you know, the struggle for your family to feel connected to God and your faith during this Holy Week. If you've got challenges, we want to help you resolve those issues that are standing in the way of you and a closer, more loving, more peaceful, more grace-filled family life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
You know, I think that this is, in some ways, we can see that there are many blessings in this, and in other ways, this is so difficult, because it is hard to be our best selves when we're worried. And it can come in waves, it can be constant, but everybody is concerned. Even our kids are concerned about something right now. And Satan loves to get a hold of that and blow it out of proportion. And that's when we snap at each other. That's when the kids get cranky. That's when everybody whines. That's when we feel like we're not equal to the task. And it becomes difficult. And one of the things that I think we all know is that we don't want it to be difficult under our roofs right now. We want it to be a place of comfort, a place of love, a place where we look back at this time and we're proud of how we handled it. And we have somehow good memories in the midst of remembering this time. But to make that happen on the daily can be a quest. It can be one of the hardest things we've had to do in a long, long time, for whatever the reason, because while we're all in it together, we're all in very, very, very different circumstances under our own roofs and in our own hearts and minds. And so we want to be here for you today to help you through that wherever you're at, in your heart, your mind, your relationships. We want to be here to help you. And so what if the kids are there? You know, go hide in the bathroom for a minute. Let them be in the background. Whatever it is, we want to be able to help you be the best person, the best parent, the best spouse, the best child, adult child for your people as you can be. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
So again, tell us, what are those challenges you're facing in your family life? Marriage conflict, tension with the kids, parenting challenges, or even just struggling to connect with God during this Holy Week while you're stuck at home. Whatever the issues are, we want to help you take your family life to the next level, whatever that means for you and yours. 877-573-7825. In addition to taking your calls throughout the program, we wanted to share something that we have been working on, that we're very excited about. This is the fruit of the Symposium for Catholic Family Life and Spirituality that regular listeners will be familiar with. We hosted an event at Notre Dame for 50 theologians, social scientists, family ministers, to really talk about the renewal of Catholic family life this past summer. And one of the things that came out of that is what we're calling this Liturgy of Domestic Church Life. And I think during this Holy Week, it's especially important to really look at this quote-unquote Liturgy of Domestic Church Life and how it can help all of our families experience more joy, more peace, more love, and more grace in this challenging time. You know, the theology of the body did a lot to really help the church recognize the spiritual dignity of marriage and family life. Marriage and family life isn't just an also-ran, you know, isn't just a you know, and you know, an aside of spiritual life in the church. It is front and center, and we're still unpacking what that means all these years after St. John Paul's passing. But this Liturgy of Domestic Church Life is a way to take advantage of the legacy of St. John Paul and the theology of the body's emphasis on the dignity, the spiritual dignity of marriage and family.
Well, I think, you know, as we began this project with the symposium, we were looking at trying to get families' attention and saying, how can we, through all the busyness of church life, all the committee meetings, all the classes, all the extras, how can we get families to bring church home? And it's sort of like a baseball just hit a target and we all just got thrown into the dunk tank, where suddenly we realize this is it, folks. This is the most important thing we can be doing while we are waiting to be returned to our sacraments, is to get our families strong and to live out a liturgy of domestic church life, not just for our souls, which are, of course, the most important thing, but for our relationships with each other, with God, for the formation of our children, for the formation of our own hearts and minds, for the ability to be able to really be and walk with God in a way that we've never walked with Him before, so that we can be strong and courageous and know his will for our personal lives and our family lives now more than ever. So the time has come for this in a big way.
So this idea of the Liturgy of Domestic Church Life, you know, it enables us to bring Jesus home.
Right. It's what transforms a common household into a domestic church. In general, liturgy is a public act of worship. More specifically, for us as Catholics, liturgy is a tool God uses to heal the damage sin does to our relationships with God and with other people. The liturgy of the Eucharist, please restore us, Lord, does restore us to union with God and makes communion with others possible in the first place.
And this Liturgy of Domestic Church Life enables us to bring this Eucharistic grace home with us, even in times when we can't physically receive the sacrament. When we intentionally try to fill our homes with Christ's sacrificial love, not just in the way we pray, but in the way we live, our family life becomes a public act of worship that God can use to heal the damage sin does to human relationships at the very root, in our homes. The Liturgy of Domestic Church Life has three rites. The rite of relationship, which is about living out that sacrificial love of Christ in our homes and living out the priestly mission of our baptism. The rite of family rituals, which is all about how Christians can model a healthy, godly relationship with working, praying, sharing, and playing, which is the prophetic mission of our baptism, modeling a Christian way of life. And the third rite of the Liturgy of Domestic Church Life is the rite of reaching out, which is the way that families serve with Christ by being a blessing to others in their service and their witness of love. And that's our royal mission of baptism being lived out. So we're going to talk more about this Liturgy of Domestic Church Life throughout the program and how you can use this Holy Week to bring God into your home in more meaningful and deeper ways. Incidentally, we have a brand new Facebook discussion group on this whole topic called Catholic Home. It's spelled H-O-M. It stands for Households on Mission. Catholic H-O-M, Catholic Home. It's all about family discipleship In a matter of a week, we've already got 300 members. We'd love for you to be part of that conversation, to learn more about how your family can bring Jesus home this Holy Week.
And every day.
And experience Christ more meaningfully in your family relationships. So just search for Catholic HOM, Catholic Home, in Facebook, and sign up, because we'd love to have you be part of that conversation. But we're going to be talking about it throughout the course of today's program, in addition to taking your calls about whatever challenges you're facing in your family these days, especially in this difficult time. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring all of our families to you. Lord, in general, but especially during this Holy Week, we ask that you would renew the domestic church, that you would fill our domestic churches with your grace. Take our common households and we consecrate them to you, so that our common households can be true domestic churches, true places where your light shines out, where your love is in residence, and where we can bear witness to that love in our homes and in the world. Lord, we bring to you all the challenges that we face in our domestic church life, the squabbles, the tension, the difficulties, the very fact that we're all stuck in this very challenging and painful situation throughout the world right now. But Lord, we know that, especially during this Holy Week, we know that you can bring miracles out of the most horrible suffering. And so we ask you to bring miracles out of our homes in the midst of this suffering, that you would draw our families closer to you and to each other, that we would live your sacrificial love in our relationships, that we would witness to each other how to work and play and talk and pray as Christians, and how to serve others even in this time of confinement, and be a light to the world of your grace working in our homes. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today's show is titled A Family Affair. These are stressful times for families, and we want to help you experience more joy, more peace, more love, and more grace in your home. Tell us, what challenges are you facing in your family life? Whether it's marital conflict, tension with the kids, parenting challenges, or just struggling to experience God meaningfully in your household this Holy Week, we want to hear from you. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Janine, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Hi, Janine. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you today?
Okay, well, several things, actually. Just being overwhelmed with the news, you know, on every front. You know, you've got the television going nonstop, 24 hours just about, on the news. And then you've got, you know, the news on Facebook, and then you've got the news on, you know, the internet. You've got all of these.
They're coming from every source. So yeah. How's that affecting you?
Well, it causes anxiety. I mean, you know, fear, anxiety. But it's also such a distraction because, you know, my husband is, you know, I call him a Googler, but he's really addicted to information. Okay. And so he digs and digs and digs for information in every source imaginable. He gets on blogs, and then he blogs, you know, when we've had these discussions and how that, you know, the time that he puts into that is really taking time away from the family and so many things that need to be done. But it's an obsession. You know, it's so there's multiple.
So what have you tried to do so far to address it with him?
Well, I mean, we've had numerous talks. I've gotten counseling, and it will get better for a shorter period of time, but it's not consistent.
So you're saying that this has been something that's ongoing, not just in relation to this crisis. Could you say you've gotten counseling?
Oh, no, it's been going on for many, many, many years. Mm. But with the crisis, it's gotten tenfold.
So when you say it's gotten better in the past, what did you do to create that change before?
Well, we would go to to counseling and, you know, use counseling services. But
yeah, but what would the counselors say that you had to do to get control of this at home? Because counselors are easy to ignore, right? When you took it home, what did you do with the advice? Like, what practically?
Well, for a short amount of time, we would practice the praying, the playing, the communicating, and and the working.
So, what would stop you from getting back to that?
Well, it wouldn't take very long before the distraction would come in. He would see a poster. He would. It's just an obsession.
Right, I understand, but I guess, okay, so what I'm saying, though, is you've got some tools, okay? So the key here is using those tools. Now, if you need the support, I mean, you know, it sounds like you were working with one of our therapists because you're talking about our model of working, playing, talking, praying. And we do telemental health, right? So you're able
to reconnect with them. That's no
So,
problem.
You know, the thing is, counseling isn't just about, you know, giving advice, right? A lot of times people think, well, okay, you taught us that thing, so now we're done. It's not, if it was that easy, then you could do it yourself, right? The whole point of therapy is to kind of hold your hand until those changes actually stick. So until you guys can actually do it on your own consistently for a extended period of time, you still need to be in the therapy. But that said, even if you don't want to go back to counseling, you know, you got some tools here where, of course, he's going to keep going back to these obsessions, right? That's the whole point of having these things, to be able to say, look, honey, come back here. Do the thing we talked about. It's gonna come down to you, because he's got this anxiety disorder, basically, where he feels like being on top of the news gives him control, right? So that's an anxiety disorder. It's this obsession that he's got with the news, and a lot of people are experiencing that for the first time now. Your husband has a history with this, but you know that we are living in anxious times, and so we feel like if I could just be obsessive about the news and stay on top of all the little crazy details, and
the next catastrophe,
I won't be surprised. I'll be ready for everything. Of course, it's a lie. But it doesn't stop us from going there. And it's going to require you being that strong woman of God to step up and say, hey, honey, we've gotten help for this, and you're slipping off the wagon. I need you to focus back here. And you know what? We talked about this last week with an elderly parent, and the advice that we gave was a little bit controversial for folks. Got
the
a lot of emails about it afterwards.
Toward the elderly.
But I'm going to say the same thing again, because it's true. If you love somebody, it means working for their good, and you need to look at your husband and say, listen, honey, I love you, and we've gotten help for this. We have a program to follow, and you can either follow it and be my partner in this, or I'm going to have to be more like your mom and turn off the TV and unplug the router.
And again, that's not yelling and screaming. That's saying, I want our family to be healthy and work well. I want your mind and your soul to be at peace and work well. And yeah, maybe you can give him, depending on how bad this is, that's for you to assess, a little bit of time every day to just catch up on the headlines. But it's got to be very structured. And the things that you're talking about, okay, the praying, the working, the playing, the sharing, that has to be scheduled. And I know a lot of people are taking a lot of heat right now for living on any kind of like a written down schedule. But it's what, in a situation where anxiety is present, is going to keep you functional and working toward your goals. So saying, we're going to play a game. If you're all off, you know, we're going to play a game. One time in the morning, one time in the afternoon, different games. We're going to take a walk together if we're allowed to and get some fresh air. Or we're going to have an exercise time or a dance party time. We're going to have time to pray. And you put it down so he's accountable to come to those things at those times. It can't be, in a minute. Yeah, when I'm done looking at this.
When we feel like it.
Exactly, because nobody's going to feel like it.
You schedule those times to work and play and talk and pray together. And you schedule some time for him to go ahead and look at headlines. But then after that, it's off. And if he can't keep it off, then you tell him, look, I love you, but I'm going to unplug the TV and I'm going to unplug the router. Don't make me go there, but I will, because I love you and I love this family too much to let this obsession eat us alive. Okay? So you focus on working your program that you got from counseling, you back it up with those legitimate consequences, and if you need support, re-engage with your counseling, because again, it's not about just getting information, it's about getting the hand-holding and support you need to make this become second nature. too many people leave before this stuff becomes second nature, and then 3 weeks later they're back to the way it was, and they say, oh, counseling didn't work. It's because you got to keep doing the exercises, and you need accountability to make it work. So, Jeannie, I thank you for the call. You got stuff you can do. I want you to get off this call and start doing those things, and if you need support to make it happen, re-engage with your counselor. You can learn more at CatholicCounselors.com. All right, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls at 877-573-7825 about taking your family life to that next level, whatever that means for you. But we'll also be joined by John and Claire Grabowski, who are going to be talking about how the domestic church is a real church and how you can make your home more of that domestic church. Stick around for more to life coming up after the break.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org. Join today's discussion and engage with producers on the Ave Maria Radio Facebook and Twitter accounts at Ave Maria Radio. Respond to interviews and learn who's coming up on Crest in the Afternoon, Catholic Connection, and other Ave Maria Radio programs. Make it easier by downloading the Ave Maria app on your smart devices. Then just tap on the Facebook and Twitter icons to get plugged in on the things that matter most. That's the Ave Maria Radio app or at Ave Maria Radio. Build the church. Bless the nations.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. SetonHome.org.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled A Family Affair. You know, these are stressful times for families. We want to help you remove the obstacles you might be encountering to a more loving, graceful, peaceful, joyful family life. Whatever's getting in your way, or if you're just struggling to connect with God and your faith during this very unprecedented Holy Week, we want to hear from you, 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, John and Claire Grabowski. They are the authors of Raising Catholic Kids for Their Vocations from TAN Press, and they're here today to talk to us about how common households can be real domestic churches. Hey, Claire and John, welcome to More to Life.
Good morning. Great to be with you guys.
It's great to have you with us. Now, Claire, I want to start with you because you're the mom, I'm the mom. This is very strange, this quarantine, and how families are having to cope with this. What do you see as the effect of the quarantine on our family lives right now and how we should be handling this?
Wow. Well, you know, it is a very different week. And John and I actually don't have any family at home. We're here alone. But we're spending a lot more time on the phone with them. Mm. We're FaceTiming them. We're sending them homilies from our parish that are live streamed to us. We even had a virtual game night the other night where we had five different phones and we all just had fun together and caught up with each other.
That's so fun. I hadn't actually thought of that. What a great idea that is. That's
so
cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and we hope to do it again after Easter. So, you know, but I'm also noticing as John and I take our daily walk that families are outside doing stuff together. So, you know, they're enjoying the weather. They're being a family. You know, I think God is working in unique ways right now. He really
and what
is.
About the, what about this idea of families as domestic churches? John, can you talk to us about that idea?
Sure. This is something the church has been telling us for a while. St. John Paul II, in his apostolic exhortation on the family, actually said to Christian families, become what you are. So we are domestic churches because we are baptized, because we share the baptismal priesthood of Christ. Here's a chance for us to step up and live that reality, because we don't have at least in-person liturgies or religious ed programs for Holy Week at our parishes. So as couples, as parents, it's on us. We can embrace this reality and try to live it intentionally.
I just want to ask, though, you know, because I think, you know, maybe some people have at least heard that phrase, domestic church, but I think most people, even when in hearing it, I don't know, my experience is that a lot of folks kind of experience it as it's a patting on the head. Oh, aren't you a nice little domestic church? Like, it's not the real thing, you know, but you'll do. That's not what the church means, though, in calling families domestic churches. How are we real church as part of domestic church?
So, as domestic churches, we are the individual cells of the larger body of Christ. So as Christ is priest, prophet, and king, we as families are called to be praying, giving witness, and serving. And that is meant to be the way in which we live every day. So this is not, it's not fluff. It's not like, as you say, pat on the head. This is reality. And we have an unprecedented chance to grab onto this reality that the Lord is giving us through this crisis.
Well, guys, I want to thank you for highlighting that for us and reminding families that we're always called to be true outposts of grace in the world and real domestic churches. And again, John and Claire Grabowski's book, Raising Catholic Kids for Their Vocations, check it out, a great resource for all Catholic families. And when we come back, we're continuing to take your calls at 877-573-7825 about the challenges that you are facing in your family life. We want to help you experience more joy, more peace, more love, and more grace. 877-573-7825. More to Life will be back right after this.
Did you know you have divine glory living within you? If you are a baptized Christian, you are host to a gentle guest, says the Catholic Catechism. This guest inspires, guides, corrects, and strengthens us to live our life in Christ. That gentle friend is the Spirit of Christ, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, the Holy Spirit. He is active in us, transforming us spiritually if we are willing, so that we may live as children of the light. There are two ways to live. The first way, the way of Christ, leads to life. The opposite way leads to death, an eternity without God. Choose life, then. Choose Christ, a life of challenge and joy. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
You as a parent apply Galatians 5, is watch your kids as they move into the religious space, if you want to put it that way. I made noises about the priesthood on and off when I was a little kid. My parents were never oppressive about it. They never pressed me in that direction. But they would quietly indicate an openness to that, or like, that's a good thing. I remember I still have it upstairs, a Bible that my parents got me for Christmas in 1969. I'm a little kid. And it's, from Mom and Dad to Bob, Christmas 1969. They knew, they sensed I was kind of interested in religious things. So I would say that, don't be pushy, of course, but don't go the other direction. That's, my generation got too much of that, was, back off. Who am I to tell you what to do? You make up your mind. No, I think gently, quietly affirming that, yeah, that's a good thing you're thinking about. And you should be open to that.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. Ephesians 5:21 challenges husbands and wives to defer to one another out of reverence for Christ. In this scripture passage, St. Paul reminds us that while husbands and wives both have roles to play, Christ is the head of the house. You see, couples who recognize Christ as the head of their house are already cultivating mutual respect. Respect isn't just general politeness, it's much, much more. It's about making your default attitude toward your spouse one of fondness and admiration. Happy couples know that they each need to learn from the other's positive influence, call their spouse to holiness, and see the inevitable flaws in the other spouse's opportunities to grow in virtue. Cultivate fondness and admiration for your spouse instead of focusing on his or her flaws, and you will grow into a marriage that is truly exceptional. For more Catholic marriage guidance, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today's show is titled A Family Affair. These are stressful times for our families, and we want to help you overcome the obstacles to greater joy, greater peace, greater love, and grace in your homes. What are those challenges you're facing in your family life right now? Some marital conflict, maybe some tension with the kids, parenting challenges because the rugrats are driving you crazy, not being able to go anywhere. Maybe it's just during this Holy Week struggling to connect with God in more meaningful ways. We're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Incidentally, in addition to taking your calls, we've started a discussion group on Facebook specifically for family discipleship and family spirituality. It's called Catholic Home, but it's spelled H-O-M. It stands for Households on Mission. Catholic H-O-M. Go to Facebook and search that, because we'd love to have you join that conversation. We're unpacking this idea of the liturgy of domestic church life and how to live it out in simple, practical, dynamic ways in your household. We've only been going for about a week. We've already got 300-plus people there. We hope you'll join the conversation at Catholic H-O-M on Facebook. Right now, we're taking your calls, though, about those challenges you're facing in living out your domestic church life right now at 877-573-7825. Who's up next?
Let's talk with Martha, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Hey there, Martha. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
I just tried to deal with this situation. I'm a medical worker, and I'm the only one working in my house.
Okay.
I try to keep in my spiritually, you know, with my family. I got 4 grandkids in my house, my husband, and every time I get home, they get so upset, so, you know, they mad each other. Because they cannot go out. My way to explain to them is that it's a time for us to be together. Mm-hmm. Pray and ask the Spirit to come and give it the peace in our hearts.
Yeah.
And it's not only them, it's a lot of people to be home.
It is a lot of people to be home. So let me ask you, just so I can get real clarity on what it's looking like under your roof. So you're out working all day. God bless you. And we're adding you to our prayer list right away. Your husband is home alone with 4 grandchildren. You're raising these grandchildren permanently, or are they there just for the duration of the quarantine? What's the situation there?
No, that's permanently. The parents apparently they're not even bother for them.
Okay, so how old are these kiddos?
That's 15, 14, 12, and 10.
Okay.
Does your and do you guys, as a family, when you are together, does everybody willing to pray together? I mean, you're talking about the importance of, you know, making this spiritual connection at this time. But is your husband and your grandkids on board with that?
Oh, yes. They do that at 3 o'clock. We sit in the living room together and pray the Rosary of Mercy.
Okay.
And then after the other Rosary. But other than that, they don't connecting. They don't have that connection.
Okay. So let me make a suggestion here. Here's how I want you. This applies to you and every other family who's cooped up under the same roof these days, and that's pretty much every other family right now in the world. So here's we call it a team building exercise, okay? And what it all is about is actually thinking of your family as a team, okay? And what do you do when you're a team? You get in the huddle, for example, or, you know, you meet the dugout or whatever, and you talk about what you're going to do next. When you get out there on the field, what are you going to do? How are you going to handle it? What's the play? Right? Well, when families do that, what you do is you get together. Let's say in the morning, okay? Everybody wakes up. Maybe you get together for just a brief 1 minute morning offering prayer. And you bless everybody and you say, thank you, God, for a new day together as a family. We love you and we give you our concerns of this day and we praise you for these blessings. The whole thing maybe takes a minute or two at the most, okay? But it's a point to connect with each other and with God. And then as soon as you're done with that prayer, you say, okay, guys, between now and lunch, what do we need to do to make each other feel taken care of? How do we pull together? And maybe you identify, okay, you know what? There's some laundry that needs to be folded. Let's all take 10 minutes and fold the laundry and put it away.
Or you know, and each person gets to say what they need. So one of the kids saying, you know, I have all of this homework to do. Can somebody be there to kind of help me through the math problems that I'm having a hard time with? Or can somebody help me connect to my online class because it's driving me crazy? Or one of the other kids can say, can somebody just play a game with me at some point or go for a walk with me because I'm losing it?
And you get all that stuff out there in the open and you make a plan for how you're going to do that stuff between that meeting and lunchtime. Then at lunchtime, you kind of check in with each other again and say, okay, team, what do we need to do to make each other feel taken care of between now and dinner? And maybe there were certain things you didn't get to do that you were hoping to do, you know, by lunchtime that you can kind of figure out where you're going to put them in there.
And it's also okay for people to say, I need y'all to speak more kindly to me because I'm having a hard day. Or I just need, you know, a little bit more peace and quiet. Can we put on quieter music than what we're all listening to? Or can I just have 10 minutes to myself? Anything that's going to emotionally caretake for people is important to listen.
That's right. And so you have that conversation, again, between lunch and dinner. And then at dinner time, you get together again. Okay, team, what do we need to do to make each other feel taken care of between now and bedtime? And you just the same questions we just talked about for breakfast and for lunch. You're doing it again until bedtime. And then at the end of the day, you check in again with each other with some prayer and you say, you know, Lord, thank you so much for letting us be a good team today and for helping us take care of each other. Help us to do an even better job of that tomorrow so that we can really grow closer to you and to each other through this challenging time. Amen. So I'm suggesting that you sit down with your husband. In fact, download the podcast after the show and listen to it with your husband and your grandkids. All right, you can pick it up at AveMariaRadio.net. You can listen to the podcast there. And just listen to this idea together and really kind of start talking out, how are you guys going to be intentional about creating a team? Now, the other thing I'm going to throw out here as part of this team discussion is the idea of what we call, in the liturgy of domestic church life, the rite of family rituals. Now, the rite of family rituals involve regular, scheduled. It's not just when we feel like it. It's scheduled, expected, mandatory times that the family shows up to work, to play, to talk, and to pray together. Now, this doesn't have to be hours and hours and hours. All four of those things might take 45 minutes combined in your family or day.
And you're already doing your chaplet and your rosary. I would also make sure that when you do that, you're adding on, you know, some intercession there where you're actually stating what you're praying for. You're not just, you know, checking it off the list, but you're really praying together about each other's concerns. But if you've already got that, then your family already has a little bit of a hedge on, hey, this is how we do this. You're just adding some things on that are going to give you all some peace of mind and some consistency of life.
Right. So maybe you just add, okay, hey, you know what, in terms of that working ritual, maybe we need to make sure that we all work together to clean up the dishes in the kitchen after meals. And now it's going to take 5 minutes instead of the 20 minutes it took for your husband to do it all by himself. You know, maybe we're all going to make sure to pick up the family room before bed every day so that we can come down in the morning and it actually looks nice. We don't feel like we're living in, you know, a hovel. You know, whatever it is, you got that work ritual. Maybe we're going to make a point of playing a game every day. You know, and it could be like 15 minutes. Maybe it's, you know, if it's a longer game, you break it up and you have like 15 minutes one day, 15 minutes the next day, or you do the whole thing. It doesn't matter, whatever. But the point is you're creating regular, scheduled, expected points in your day to work and play and talk and pray together. That's part of your team building. Now, the larger spiritual context for this, since we're talking about the liturgy of domestic church life, this is holy. You know, a lot of people think that the families are only holy when they're praying together. That's certainly true that they are holy when they're praying together, but it's not the only time. You're holy when you're being a domestic church. And these rite of family rituals is the way that families live out their prophetic mission of baptism. John and Claire Grabowski were talking about this.
They were.
Right? Well, how is that living out your prophetic mission of baptism? The Catechism says that we fulfill our prophetic mission by modeling in word and deed how a Christian person is to live. So when you model, as a family, ways to work and play and talk and pray together, you are modeling and encouraging and supporting each other in having a Christian relationship, a godly relationship with work, with leisure, with sharing, and with praying. Those involve all the activities that human beings are involved in. You are modeling what it is to be a Christian in those four contexts. And that's how you are living out the mission of your of the prophetic mission of your baptism. That is what the whole point of the family rite of rituals is in the liturgy of domestic church life. So when you're doing this team thing, you know, that's living out the rite of relationships, where you're living out Christ's sacrificial love in the home through this liturgy of domestic church life, and therefore exercising your common priesthood, because a priest is all about making sacrifice. When you're making that sacrificial love of how can we take better care of each other between breakfast and lunch and dinner and bedtime, you're living out that mission. And then you're adding the rituals to it, which is all about the prophetic mission, right? So you're it's not just getting along better, it's also going deeper in your family spirituality. So we talk a lot about this, by the way, in our book Discovering God Together, the Catholic Guide to Raising Catholic Kids. But we're also discussing it at the Catholic Home on our Facebook discussion group. If you just go to Catholic HOM, it stands for Households on Mission, we can continue the conversation there. But Martha, I think these ideas will get you started, and I think it's going to really transform your home life and help you guys treat this stir-crazy feeling that you're all having, and that a lot of people are having right now, because it's going to help you feel like, even though this is challenging, you're really using the time to learn to take care of each other better, instead of just, you know, crawling at the doors and the windows wishing that you could just get out. Okay. God bless you, Martha. Thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, call us back here on the program. But please do join the conversation on Facebook, our Facebook discussion group, Catholic HOM, Households on Mission, Catholic HOM, a new discussion group on family spirituality and family discipleship. 877-573-7825. We are taking your calls today on the challenges your family might be facing to living a more loving, more joyful, more peaceful, more grace-filled life. Are you dealing with some marital conflict, some tension with the kids, parenting challenges? Whether those things have to do with the current crisis and sheltering in place, or just in general, we want to help you out. Maybe during this Holy Week, your family is having a hard time knowing how to connect with your faith, and you're really struggling with that. Well, we're kind of featuring that conversation throughout the show, but if you've got questions about it, give us a holler. 877-573-7825. As we go to break, it's time for our scripture verse of the day, which is going to be focusing on how families, it's sort of our mission statement for family life.
Well, a lot of you are familiar with it. Some of you may have had it read at your wedding, and you haven't thought about it since. So let's go over this and start applying it. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love is not pompous. It is not inflated. It is not rude. It does not seek its own interest. It is not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Boy, I know a lot of parents right now who went,
psst. Yeah, not just a wedding reading. Because it is our family mission statement.
Come on, when we hear this, we know we need the grace of God, and we know we have work to do, because how often during the last couple of weeks have we been rude to each other? Have we sought just our own interests? Have we been quick-tempered? Have we just brooded over injuries, or our kids are brooding over injuries from each other? This is here to challenge us not to condemn us. So this isn't about, well, then now you should feel bad because you were quick-tempered, Mom, because you have 80,000 assignments to do with your kid and you have no idea how. This is about saying, okay, this humbles me enough to say, I need to ask for help. I need to ask for help from God. I need to bring this family together and say, I need help getting through the day. How do you need help getting through the day? What can do we do to take care of each other, like Greg was just talking about? We need to be able to see this sort of as not necessarily marching orders where God is saying, you have to do this or I don't like you. This is God wants to give us this kind of love, love for him, love for each other, and know his love for us. If you're struggling with this today, if you're feeling quick-tempered, irritable, a little bit of the craziness of life just making you feel like everybody in this house is being rude to each other and it's hurting me and you're kind of brooding over all the injuries that happen during the course of a day, don't feel condemned by it. Give us a call and let us help you figure out how to fix it at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
More to Life will continue with your questions, comments, and insights about experiencing more joy, love, peace, and grace in your domestic church right after these messages.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
From conception to natural death, CMF Curo is here to guide you and your family through the healthcare journey. They offer a Christ-centered path to healthcare, from one-on-one guidance to spiritual resources and community-based health sharing. CMF Curo offers an affordable healthcare option that's consistent with the Catholic Church's teaching on life and the family. You can learn more about CMF Curo at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and during this unprecedented time, we hope that you'll think of your local Catholic radio station as your virtual parish, connecting you with the spiritual resources that you need, especially during this Holy Week. Remember to support your local Catholic radio station so that they can continue to support you, especially through this challenging time.
But every day, all the time, just as we always have. If you're appreciating having these messages, this positivity here for you, this truth here for you, please remember to go to the website of your Catholic radio station, your local station, and hit the donate button and find out how you can be a help in spreading this message for the whole world, but for yourself as well. Keep it here.
Today on More to Life, we're talking about family life on our show titled A Family Affair. You know, these are stressful times for families, and we want to help you experience more joy, more peace, more love, more grace in your home in this time of confinement. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us what challenges you're facing to experiencing that joy, love, peace, and grace that God wants for all of his domestic churches. Speaking of domestic church, you know, we are continuing this conversation that we've started here on the show today on a brand new Facebook discussion group called Catholic Home. It's H-O-M. That stands for Households on Mission. And we're talking about how families can draw closer to each other and to God, especially during this time, but really in general, and live as true domestic churches. How do we use this terrible time to bring grace into our homes in a deeper way so that we can experience God at home more than maybe we ever have and renew not just our families, but the whole world because of it? You can learn more about that conversation by going on Facebook at Catholic HOM, stands for Households on Mission, Catholic HOM. And by the way, Lisa and I are going to be doing a Facebook Live event tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern for our Sunday visitors, Teaching Catholic Kids. We'll have the details for that on Catholic Home. So you just go there. It's posted there already. We'll put up another announcement about how you can access it. But it's free, and it's just a conversation about how families can draw more meaning and grace out of their faith and really experience Christ at home in more meaningful ways. That's tomorrow, Tuesday, at 4 p.m., details at Catholic HOM on Facebook. With that, we got a question here from a listener.
We do, and this is something that, as I read over this question, there are a lot of women I know who are going through something similar, so I wanted to make sure we hit this today. This is from Karen, and she said, I just got my kids, who are 9 and 11, back from their dad last night. We live in the same town, so the court has required us to continue our custody agreement as long as we both shelter in place. I have them 5 days a week. He has them two. Because we live in the same town and are keeping the same schedule, life seems somewhat normal. But within hours of them coming home, they start complaining that his house is cleaner than mine, that they have better meals there. Sure they do. He's still making a ton of money. He left me with the old house and very little money, which is tighter now. He only has the kids 2 days a week, and he has a housekeeper. I am working two jobs online, and yet my salary has been cut, and I have them 5 days a week. I'm feeling so overwhelmed and so underappreciated that those 2 days that I don't have them, I find I'm sitting and worrying, not just cleaning up the whole house so it's perfect for them. How do I get to be this team that you guys are talking about? And
well,
that is Karen, who is listening in Michigan.
Karen, thank you for the question. And, you know, you're not alone, first of all. I want you to know that. I know that doesn't make it any easier, but you're not alone. And there are a lot of people in that same situation. It begins with a conversation with your kids about wanting to be that team, saying, look, guys, this is a particularly tough time for all of us. And we need to pull together. You know, I want to have that warm, loving, clean, orderly, peaceful home that you guys want to have too, but I can't do it all by myself. So we need to work together to figure out how to take better care of each other. So what are the things that you guys would like to see done around here? Great. Let's make a plan for doing it. What are we going to do today? We can't do it all in one day.
And let's be specific. That doesn't mean that you then assign them. Well, then you go clean all the bathrooms and you clean out the garage. It's not that. It's how can we do this together to create the home we all want within the structure that we have in our home.
Yeah, dividing and conquering with chores is fine. It's fine, but it doesn't build team. So what we're really trying to focus on here, I mean, in our house, especially during this time, and what we're encouraging everybody who with an earshot to do, is to do chores together. You know, fold your laundry together, wash your dishes and clean up your kitchen together as a family. Do what needs to be done together as a family, and then move on to playing a game together as a family. You know, and taking a walk together as a family. You just really pour your energy into being that team and talking about what that would look like. But it all starts with that conversation that says, you know, guys, we've sort of been not really being a great team. You know, I've been just off by myself doing my work and trying to keep our heads above water. You guys have been doing what you're doing. How about we all work together?
Right. I know it feels like a great break when you go to your dad's and the housekeeper is taking care of everything and he can order you out these nice meals. But we live in this different situation 5 days a week. We want it, but we need to achieve it and work together to make that happen.
And, you know, you guys could even be cooking together. You know, they're all the kids are old enough to do that, right?
That's
so,
true.
You know, you're all these things, you can make these things happen together. And even if they're simpler meals or even if it's the older house, the fact that you're all working together to create that sense of team is going to make it all that much more enjoyable and that much more peaceful. I promise you, you do this in a week, it's going to change the entire dynamic in your household. Thanks so much for the call, and if there's more that we can do for you or any of you listeners, check out the resources we have at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can learn more about all the books we mentioned on today's program, including Parenting with Grace and Discovering God Together, the Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids. Learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice at CatholicCounselors.com. We've been doing it for 20 years, and we are leaders in the field. We can help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life.
You're listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.